news, weather, truth, and fun. We're iHub Radio, homegrown in the Coachella Valley. For a fresh take on the news with Anita Rufus, you won't know if you don't listen.
And thank you so much for listening. This is Anita Rufus, the lovable liberal. I want to start out by acknowledging that racial relations, racial history, racial animosity, the whole issue of race is a big thing for me. I have black ex-stepchildren. I had my very first love was a mestizo Mexican-American Indian. I was raised to understand that the color of people's skin is no different than the color of their hair or the color of their eyes, except you can change those to some extent. You can't change the color of your skin. Well, sure you can. White people get tans all the time. It's just how I was raised. I was also raised, that was my mother. My father threatened to kill me if I took my black boyfriend to my brother's wedding. Lots of stories like that. And I am who I am about all of that. I was very involved in the civil rights movement. And for me, it's just a matter of humanity. But I have noticed, especially this past week, after about 4 weeks of lots of focus on protests, Black Lives Matter, this whole past week, you've seen hardly anything about that because it's all virus, virus, virus. So I want to give a little perspective based on the issue of race because this is important to me. And then I'm going to get into things you might not know if you didn't listen to this show. Let me start by saying Black Lives Matter may be the largest movement in our history as a country. Over 240 years, about 15, somewhere between 15 and 26 million people in the United States have participated in the recent protests about Black Lives Mattering. The protests really peaked on June 6th, which is a month ago, when 500,000 people turned out on that day in nearly 550 places across this country. And that made me think about the people who are trying to characterize that movement in terms of the few situations where agitators have decided to break windows or whatever. Fox is focusing, and the president are focusing on that as if that was what was going on all over the country. And you know damn well that's just not true. But I thought it was really important for us to at least recognize and understand why it is so important, for example, that the governor of Mississippi has already signed a bill to remove the Confederate symbol from their state flag. It passed with a House vote in the Mississippi House by a vote of 91 to 23. And in their Senate, it passed by 37 to 14. Now, it's calling for a formation of a commission to lead to a flag redesign. They're going to get rid of the Confederate symbol, but they want the slogan, "In God We Trust." The redesign will be approved by that committee, and they're going to place it on the November ballot. So they are fast-tracking this. And here's why that's so important. To the people who say, well, this is just our heritage. I found this thing that actually was kind of shocking because it's the first time I ever read it. But in 1861, Alexander Stevens, who was the vice president of the Confederacy, the group of states that went to war against the government, traitors to America. Let's not forget that. He gave a speech on March 21st, 1861, called the Cornerstone Speech, and he said, "The Constitution rested upon the equality of races. This was an error. Our new government meaning the Confederacy, our new government is founded upon exactly the opposite idea. Its foundations are laid, its cornerstone rests upon the great truth that the Negro is not equal to the white man, that slavery subordination to the superior race is his natural and normal condition. This, our new government, the Confederacy, is the first in the history of the world based upon this great physical, philosophical, and moral truth. Keep that in mind. That is what the Confederacy stood for. And when people try and argue with you anything else, tell them to go look up the Cornerstone Speech. So I wrote this little piece for me because I felt it was important to say this. Just between you and me. Racism is not about whether we know each other or like each other or are willing to work together or marry or be willing to live on the same block or in the same building. Racism is about whether everyone, regardless of circumstance, is considered equally deserving of respect and value just as a human being. It doesn't mean we aren't able to judge one another's actions or values. We do that all the time. It means we don't assume anyone is lesser than anyone else in terms of their humanity and what is possible for them in the world. If you're ever surprised that somebody's black when you've heard them speak perfectly, or you see a picture of suspects of crime and automatically think the face of someone of color is suspicious, or if you've ever assumed that someone of color must have been the recipient of affirmative action to have gotten where they are because they seem to be doing better than you are, or if you've ever heard someone else say something or come to a conclusion just like those I just mentioned, and you don't say anything about how that is inherently racist, then you're perpetuating those attitudes as well. Just own it and realize the implications of it, because you were born into a culture where that was part of our founding reality. Now, I've talked before about this idea of the Karens, the women who represent white privilege, like that woman who called the police on the guy who's a bird watcher in the park because he suggested that she do what the sign that was right there said and put her dog on a leash. They're known as the Karens because Karen is such a typically white name. And for what it's worth, there are some people who are, like, getting hostile toward people named Karen. Get over that. But I was absolutely tickled to see that this week, something called the Karen Act has been introduced. And the Karen Act would outlaw false racist calls to 911. It would make fake and racially motivated 911 calls illegal. But it's not spelled K-A-R-E-N. This is, talk about tongue-in-cheek and clever. They're calling it the Karen Act, C-A-R-E-N. And that stands for Caution Against Racially Exploitative Non-Emergencies. This is based on this whole social media idea of the Karens, white women of privilege who target black people. And there's a lot of men who ought to be named Karen, too. This is like the white couple who confronted a Filipino-American man who was writing Black Lives Matter outside of his own house in San Francisco. Anyway, keep an eye on this possible legislation called the Karen Act, C-A-R-E-N. And stay aware of the fact that Racism is so at the core of our culture that people can call and say, a black man is trying to get me, whether it's true or not. I want to share a piece of good news with you. A woman has become the first Green Beret. She took special training in 2016. Let's go back there. 4 years ago. Only 4 years ago. The Pentagon opened all combat jobs to women, including the special operations community. This woman took the special forces training, and she has now joined the Green Berets, first time in our history that a woman will be part of that select group of those who keep us safe. I don't know if you heard this story about what happened in South Korea, Seoul, the capital of South Korea. The mayor of Seoul, his name is Park Won-soon. He was found dead. He disappeared one day after a secretary in his office told the police that he had sexually harassed her for the last 3 years. And he had been a champion of women's rights. Well, the day after he disappeared, they found him dead. Listen, it's very possible that South Korean women just have a very short fuse. I want to share with you something disturbing, but again, something I just haven't heard anybody talking about. Turns out that in the active duty Air Force, suicides in the last year have surged, highest total in 30 years. They're not sure they understand all of the reasons, but according to preliminary figures, the Air Force had 84 suicides among active duty members. These aren't people who have already mustered out and have PTSD or depression or whatever. 84 suicides among active duty members in the last year. There were 60 in the year before that. This is something to be concerned about. Some of this is the stress related to deployment to combat zones still in Iraq and Afghanistan. And it is very concerning, and it is something we ought to be aware of because it is one of the things that the federal government and the Department of Defense ought to be paying attention to. I hope you know who the Sikhs are. They are a religious group. S-I-K-H is how it's defined. They're the fifth largest organized religion in the world. They're the ones where the men, the male Sikhs, wear those very tightly wrapped turbans on their heads. They're not Muslims. They're Sikhs. And they have part of the foundation of their religion, fifth largest in the world, is they believe in feeding anyone in need. This is a way that they relate to other people within their own religious tradition. In 10 weeks, about 30 Sikh cooks in New York City served more than 145,000 free meals, mostly to hospital workers or to people in poverty. In fact, during the protests for racial justice, there were some Sikh locations that were feeding the protesters. Shouldn't we all be like that? Isn't that a story worth knowing? Now, I want to share with you something kind of funny. I found this anonymously written thing online about the 2020 edition of what our first 6 months has been like. And I'll share as much as I can with you. In January, Australia caught fire. I'm not sure the fire was put out because we straight up almost went to war with Iran, and we might actually still be almost at war with Iran. But who knows, because Jen Aniston and Brad Pitt spoke to each other at an awards show, and that's the thing that everybody was talking about. But then Netflix released Cheer and everybody fell in love with Jerry. But then there was that thing happening in China, and then Prince Harry and Meghan pieced out of the royal family, and there was the whole impeachment trial, and then the coronavirus showed up. But then Kobe died, and the United Kingdom pieced out of the European Union. That was just January. In February, Iowa crapped itself with the caucus results. Remember that? Seems like years ago. The president was acquitted. Speaker of the House took 10 years to rip up a speech. But then the World Health Organization decided to give this virus a name, COVID-19, which confused some really important people in charge of, like, our lives into thinking there were 18 other versions before that. But then Harvey Weinstein was found guilty. And Americans started asking if Corona beer was okay to drink. And then everyone on Facebook became a doctor who just knew the flu killed way more people than COVID 1 through 18. Now, March, shit hit the fan. Elizabeth Warren dropped out of the presidential race. Bernie Sanders was like Bernie or bust. But then Italy shut its whole ass down. And then COVID, not 1 through 18, officially became what everybody already realized was a pandemic. And then a nationwide state of emergency was declared in the U.S., but it didn't really change anything. So everybody was confused or thought it was still just a flu. In April, Bernie finally busted himself out of the presidential race, but then New York City became the site of the Walking Dead, and we learned that no one had face masks, ventilators, toilet paper, or the goddamn Swiffer wet jet liquid. And then Kim Jong-un died, but then he came back to life. Or did he? Who knows? Because then the Pentagon released videos of UFOs, and we were like, man, it's only April. In May, the biblical end times kicked off with historical locust swarms, and then we learned of murder hornets. And we realized 2020 was the start of the Hunger Games, but people forgot to let us know. And then people protested lockdown measures with AR-15s in the state house in Michigan. And then sports events were canceled everywhere. But then people all over America finally reached a breaking point with race issues and violence. There were protests all over. And then people forgot about the pandemic. The media struggled with how to focus on two important things at once. But then people in general struggle to focus on more than one important thing anyway. And a dead whale was found in the middle of the Amazon rainforest. In June, science and common sense just got thrown straight out the window. And somehow wearing masks became a political thing. But then a whole lot of people realized the South was actually the most unpatriotic thing ever and had actually lost the Civil War. And there's a large amount of people who feel that statues they don't even know the name of are needed for, I don't know, history reasons. But then everyone sort of remembered there was a pandemic and then decided that not wearing a mask was somehow a God-given right. I don't know if you can find that in the Bible. It's sure not in the Constitution. But then scientists announced they found a mysterious undiscovered mass at the center of the earth. And everyone was like, don't you dare touch it. And then everyone took a pause to realize that people actually believed Gone with the Wind was like nonfiction. But then it was also announced there's a strange radio signal coming from somewhere in the universe that repeats itself every so many days. And everyone was like, don't attempt to communicate with it. But then America reopened from the shutdown, and actually it wasn't even a shutdown. And so far things have gone spectacularly not that great. But everyone's on Facebook arguing that masks kill because no one knows how breathing works. And then Florida was like, hold my beer and let me show you how we're number one in all things, including the not corona beer coronavirus. Trump decided it was a good time to ask the Supreme Court to shut down Obamacare, because what better time to do that than in the middle of a pandemic? And then we learned there was a massive dust cloud coming straight at us from the Sahara Desert. But this is 2020. So, you know, I'm not sure I even have a dust cloud on my bingo card. Then we learned that the Congo's worst ever Ebola outbreak is over, and we were all like, oh, there was an Ebola outbreak? In July, what can we expect? Aliens? Asteroids? Artificial intelligence becomes self-aware? That's certainly my nightmare. Look, I'm going to be taking a bit of a hiatus for a while because I'm so worried about this damn virus that I'm not going to come into the studio for a while. But I'll stay in touch, and you can be in touch too. You can get on my personal blast list. Send me an email to anita@lovableliberal.com. And just remember, these are difficult times for all of us. Take care. And for God's sake, stay safe.